games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. We are live at Sussex Hamilton High School for the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine. Tom, it's good to see you. This thing is incredible.
Isn't this something? This is a dream in action right now.
Linemen are here now, offense and defense.
150 of them.
150
linemen.
In this facility at Sussex Hamilton, which is second to none. This thing is incredible. And talking to Coach D'Amato before, I said, man, this thing is – what's the downside? He said, you know, you build a facility like this, everybody thinks you should win state championships every year. He said, but, you know, the weight room is incredible. The indoor facility is incredible. And the way this thing is run, you got to give credit to Tony Biola and the people from WFCA.
And also the individuals from Next Level. They're out there running all of the drills. Everything is just timed out so well.
Incredible to me that we're going to, you know, there'd be 550 kids coming through in the next couple of hours. It's interesting. They've got the big uglies, the big linemen here. They figure they get up early. They let the pretty boys sleep in a little bit.
That's right.
Quarterbacks come in late.
I'm sure that was the thought process.
Hey, we had problems that first hour, so we're gonna just figure out as we go. But we're going to start, if we can, with Phil Ertl. He is the superintendent of the Wauwatosa School District. He also has a son participating here today. So the parent perspective on doing something like this and getting your son, you know, to come out and take a look at, there's some awfully talented and big linemen all through the state. And Phil's joining us right now. Phil, it's good to see you.
Hey, good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Hey, Wauwatosa needs a facility like this.
You know, I walked through the doors, and the first thing I thought when I'm walking through is, we got to get one of these in Wauwatosa.
We got to get one of these in Wauwatosa for sure. Hey, Phil, as a parent of a young man, and your son was a freshman, started on varsity last year as a freshman, and he's a kid that from people outside of the Tosa area and inside that I talk to, they say, look, this kid's the real deal. He's a great kid, nice kid, awfully good football player.
Yeah, you know, Austin, he works pretty hard at it. He's pretty excited about football, and it helps to kind of drive a lot of other things he's doing. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of coaches talk to him about academics and the importance of that, so that helps to drive him
to school. A little pressure for him, do you think, having his father as the superintendent? Is that, you know, as he's making sure he takes care of his business in the classroom, you know, he knows that if – he messes up, that goes right to the top.
Yeah, I'm sure there's pressure. I talked to him, actually, just yesterday. We had a discussion about it, that there's some additional challenges that he knows he has, being my son in the school district. But I guess the fact remains, my kids haven't known anything different. So,
yeah, I think that's actually good, to be honest with you. I do. I think having that little extra pressure, I had the opportunity, as Tom did, to coach our sons, and – you know what, to be a coach's kid or a superintendent kid carries some stuff with it. And you have to – the decision process I think these kids have is a little bit different than a kid that doesn't have a parent anywhere near what they're doing.
Yeah, and I certainly don't have a problem with that part of it. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people keeping an eye on my kids in a good way too. So that's really helpful and comforting knowing that.
You know, Austin, Phil would never say this, but Austin comes from a pretty good gene pool. Phil was one heck of a player at UW La Crosse. I mean, one of the best players they've ever had in that program, and when he played, one of the very best players in the country. So I'm sure Austin has a little bit of pressure to live up to Dad's fame as well.
Well, you know, Austin's, I guess, cutting his own rug. He's,
yeah.
You know, he obviously knows that I played, and, you know, I've coached him in the youth league.
Sure.
And we've had that connection too, and he likes the fact that he really wants to wear the same number that I had in college too, so that's kind of neat how he does that.
How hard was it for you last year? So you were just in the stands last year? You were a parent?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's the first time I've ever sat in the stands and watched a football game since forever. I've always either been coaching or, you know, sitting off in the field somewhere kind of watching from a different perspective. But as a parent, yeah, it's kind of hands-off, and it's kind of a unique way to watch a game, I guess.
I had that happen with when my son went to college to play basketball. Tom's going to have that this year. It was a really difficult transition. My wife and I, right when warm-ups, there'd be about 5 minutes left in warm-ups, she would move, or I would move, and because she told me I didn't cheer correctly. I never knew what that meant. You know, I didn't cheer correctly.
I know what it means because I've had the same experience. I tend to want to be coaching from the stands and coaching my kids and saying, what are you doing out there? Drive that. You know,
right.
You're kind of getting on them and, well, he's not hearing you, so you might as well just be quiet.
Well, in basketball, they can hear you. They can hear you, and the refs can hear you. And when you're at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, if you're a little loud, everybody hears you. So, hey, on this with this combine, he comes out, and what do you think he'll learn and get from this?
You know, I think it's really trying to compare himself to other kids at this level. Being a freshman, he can see some of the other kids and what they're doing. I look at these kind of opportunities for him that it's motivational. He comes out here, he goes and sees a practice of something else, and just the opportunity to keep him excited about football, which he is, and it's good motivation to get him working and working harder than he has already.
You know, and in regards to, you know, the combine and being out here with other athletes at same age and same position and that type of thing, you also have a lot of college coaches out here right now taking a look at our athletes here. And you know, how do you feel about that? How does that fit into the whole reason for being here?
You know, Austin's a little unique. Back in after he got done playing football in fourth grade, he made these four goals he put up on his wall. They still hang there. And one was to play varsity as a freshman. The other one is play Division I football. And that, you know, the first goal's passed, and the second one is really his goal. He wants to play Division I. And, you know, there's some things he can't control. He can't control if he's going to grow any taller. Can't control his genes, but he can really work hard, and that's really what he wants to do. And, you know, I think any high school kid wants to impress college coaches.
Phil, do you remember what you were like at his age?
Yeah, I do.
Did you have those dreams as well?
No, I think I was worried about what I was going to do the next day, more or less. I just really wasn't quite that focused at that age.
It's amazing to me that there are kids out there that look at what they're going to do this afternoon, not what they're going to do 4 years from now. And I love the fact that when you find kids like that, as long as there isn't any burnout factor, because you guys both know that there is some at early ages that, and as long as he's able to take the wins and take the losses the correct way, you know, that's what, as a parent, that's all you can hope for, that they go out and play 100%, be a really good teammate, understand what the word team means, and then go out and perform to the best of their ability, then we're happy about that.
Yeah, I after this year, or prior to his freshman year, one of the things I said is I'm going to just really back off, and all I'm going to do is support, don't push. And, you know, he's a driven kid, and I want him to make his own decisions, what sports he wants to play and how involved he wants to get. And I know what his goals are, and I can help support him with his goals.
What position did you play in college?
I was a defensive tackle.
You were?
I was a little bigger at the time.
I was going to say, I'm looking at you now compared to these boys from high school that I'm watching walk by, and my goodness, you know, there are some boys here that look like defensive tackles. You do not.
Well, Austin just weighed in this morning a little bit heavier than what I played at my senior year in college.
He just walked by. He looks good. He does not look like a typical freshman. I can tell you that. What kind of year did he have this year? He did okay?
You know, it was a big learning experience. I know they started out against Tulsa East, and it was like, I think, eyes wide open. And he, you know, he ended the year well, and he finished pretty strong. I think he had a really good year.
Competition at that level, from going from eighth grade to varsity, is incredible. I mean, what a difference.
It's so rare. I can honestly say in all my years of coaching, I think I've had two players who made that jump to the varsity football as a freshman, and they earned it. They deserved it. So, you know, it's kudos to your son for being able to do that.
Yeah, and Tulsa West actually had another, and I had the good fortune of coaching those kids for 4 years in youth football, but another freshman played at Jimmy Furman, also played on the offensive line for Tulsa West.
Wow.
Imagine that.
So he's got two four-year bookends.
Four-year starter coming
A couple
back.
Of bookends yeah. there. And are they both tackles?
Jimmy played guard. He'll be out here with the linebackers a little bit later, too.
Okay. Well, this gives him an opportunity, and again, watching your son as he gets ready to go. This gives them an opportunity, I think, to look around and understand that it's just not the bubble that they live in. Yeah, you know, you look at some of these guys and you look at some of the sizes and the numbers that they're posting. They've got to understand that, you know, there are good football players all over the state of Wisconsin, and this should be a motivator for him.
Yeah, I keep telling him there's Tulsa West good, there's Wisconsin good, and then there's national good.
Yeah.
And, you know, where do you want to be? Who are you going to measure yourself against? And you need to measure yourself against the best if you want to be the best.
Well, and one of the benefits of the combine for participants is all of the information will be given to college coaches. So the fact that Austin's a freshman to be a sophomore, he's going to get his numbers out this year. People are going to see that, and, you know, that'll keep him on their recruiting list for time to come.
Can you explain to people the stages that the kid's going through? What are the things that they're doing here?
Well, Next Level has set up a combine much like you would see for the NFL combine. So they're doing specific drills to sort of look at athleticism. And certainly there's a 40-yard dash. And what's interesting is we debated about a month ago for the linemen, do we do a 40-yard dash or do we do a 20-yard dash?
Right.
What makes more sense for a lineman? And we decided to do the 40-yard dash because the feedback we got from colleges, that's a number that everybody can kind of look and see and understand what it means. They're also doing an L drill. They're doing the pro agility. They're doing a vertical jump. There's also a station in the weight room in which they are going to rep out, and the weight that they're going to be using today is 185, and how many reps of 185 can they do? I think some of the other positions might be doing 155. I'm not sure. Like the quarterbacks, for instance, might not do 185. So it's you know, your regular kind of NFL-like combine situation.
Hey, Phil, we're going to get to a break in about 2 minutes, and I don't know, because of what happened the first hour, if we're going to be able to get you back. But I have to ask you, you were involved with the realignment, and you're pretty well knowledgeable, obviously, with the realignment, and at least to where it is right now. Is there any – people are going to disagree with this, and there's going to be some people that are going to go after this and try to get it changed. As the superintendent for Wauwatosa, I don't really understand how it happened. Wauwatosa West got moved, and they never asked to be moved. And I thought they were very competitive and a great conference that they were in. And now they kind of get moved. Tulsa East, you asked for relief, did not get moved. And I'm wondering if you've got any answers on how that happened.
I don't have any answers. I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about it. And
we will keep Phil for another segment.
You know, and not to get anybody in trouble, but it's
right.
A very emotional. And there are some people that are extremely upset. The thing, Phil, that I've heard from other people, and you don't need to comment if you don't want to, but the process of how this happened is people are scratching their head. People that were up there going, I can't believe how this just happened. And I'm wondering, and I don't want to get you in trouble because right now we're not talking – to a parent at the combine, we're talking to the superintendent. That's the hat you're wearing for this question, superintendent from the Wauwatosa School District. Were you surprised at the process?
Yeah, I don't know that there was a process, so I'm surprised by that. Yeah, absolutely, and very frustrated by it, dating back 3 years when we first initiated conversations about what do we need to do. And, yeah, unfortunately, I'm much more involved in this than I ever planned to be or wanted to be, but I think it's for good reason. And, you know, I just talked about a number of things about athletics, and I could talk all day about the importance of athletics in a school environment and how important it is for kids and how it drives it. And to me, it's not about conference championships. It's really about participation in programs for kids and getting the most number of kids involved and having opportunities. And we're Wauwatosa is in a bad spot right now for it. We were in a bad spot, and we're in a worse spot now, and I don't understand why.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Phil, if we can keep you one more segment, I promise not to get you in trouble. I could ask you a few questions, but I promise not to. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with Phil Ertl. He is the superintendent, Wauwatosa School District. We're live at Sussex Hamilton for the 2016 WFC High School Football Combine. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising. We are live at Sussex Hamilton High School for the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine. I want to thank Tony Resch from Raising Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Without him, we would not be able to be out here. So, Tony, thank you so much. We're going to have Tony on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about some of the great work that he does and his company does for sports and teams and schools in this area. We're joined right now by Phil Ertl, Superintendent, Wauwatosa School District. And for the most part, we're celebrating this combine and these kids that are willing to come out. But because having Phil on, and he's really involved in the realignment, yeah. I've got a zillion questions
yeah.
for him.
And it's a rare opportunity, to talk to somebody who's involved in it.
And not only involved, but he gives a different perspective. He has a special skill set when it comes to this. Being a college football player, being a successful college football player who believes in athletics, not to get trophies, not to win trophies and try to win state titles all the time, but just what it means to be part of a team and the skill development and the social development and the academic development that you can get through sport. And football is a numbers game. And so when you're taking some of these schools and you're moving them or not moving them, because they can't compete in some of these conferences, schools that have asked for relief, and they've said, no, we're not going to do that. And then they take Tosa West and move them into the conference with Tosa East, but yet they split the West Dallas schools. You've got to be shaking your head.
Yeah, I am. It's a frustrating deal that we're faced with. And, you know, dating back 3 years when we made the request to get East and West together and then requested that they go into the Woodland. When East was placed in the Greater Metro Conference, East was about 1,400, 1,500 students, and West was much smaller. Then there was a boundary change, and both high schools are similar in size. So we said, let's get them in the same conference. We're the only district in the state with two or more high schools not in the same conference. So about 3 years ago, we started that, and just my first question was, this is how you start a process. You stand up, raise your hand at a meeting, say, I'm requesting relief or I'm requesting something.
In front of all your peers.
Yeah, I thought there would be some paperwork, some kind of process. So then it's gone from there with numerous emails back and forth and a number of attempts at a few superintendents tried to get the process rolling and to look at the realignment. And, you know, I've been to Stevens Point to two of the Board of Control hearings, and, the end of it put a number of schools in bad situations, in particular the Wauwatosa schools.
A couple of weeks ago, we had the athletic director, I believe, from Tosa West, right? And the athletic director from Germantown. Did we not have those guys?
That
in?
Wasn't on this show.
Okay.
But it might have been on your baseball show.
Might have been, or even basketball. It was basketball. And Germantown and Homestead put their hand up and said, look, if these schools need relief, we're willing to go in tougher conferences. We're very competitive, obviously. And if this is going to help them, then move us. And you look at what happened with Homestead, there's no chance that Dave Keel is happy, because there's been some schools moved out that were competitive, and they've moved in the two West Bend schools, which baseball-wise they're competitive, football they're not. And they've kept Nicolet in, Port Washington in, they've moved Hartford in, and Hartford has not been real competitive. So you're looking at schools that stood up and said, look, we're willing to go into harder conferences, put us with the big boys, we're okay with that, But get some of these schools some relief, and none of that happened.
You know, it's not too often we have other schools and other school districts stand up for a neighboring school district, and you saw a lot of it in this realignment. And a lot of these schools were standing up for Wauwatosa, standing up for Waukesha. Unfortunately, their voice didn't matter, and it was pretty clear at that appeals hearing that when Ms. Hauser asked, you know, what's the harm to your school district in this, and why are you appealing it? Well, they state that. And so it's just that's one of those pieces that, you know, it doesn't, apparently it doesn't matter if you're not negatively impacted, but you know something's wrong and is not being addressed.
I'm on the football advisory, and we meet with the WIAA every December, myself and about seven or eight other coaches, and we represent all the different sizes of schools, public, private. You know, it's a good mix of coaches. And last year we brought up, I want to say, like six or seven things to be brought to the Board of Control, like unlimited contact or whatever the case was. And we left that meeting thinking that we were going to get all of these things. It was like a positive thing, you know, like it makes sense. And like only one of them passed, you know, ultimately, you know, and you know, the frustration not only lies in the process of something like realignment, but even the processes for changing other things. It's very difficult to get change when you're working with the WIAA. It's just a fact.
When you talk about Wauwatosa East in the conference with Brooks Central, Brookfield East, Germantown, Sussex Hamilton, Marquette, Menominee Falls, Tosa West, and Nathan Hale, how hard is it going to be for this new coach coming in to increase the numbers in his program when it doesn't look like they're going to win anytime soon or be competitive anytime soon?
You know, I think he's going to be able to do that. I think he's going to be able to increase numbers and build a program. And, you know, I look at this whole realignment, and I'm gonna put forth my best effort to make sure things get adjusted the way they should. But when the day is done, you know, the point is you got to say, okay, we are where we are, and now we're going to build a program with what we have, and we're going to make this work. And that's kind of how I look at it and say, you know, I'm going to fight for what's best for Wauwatosa and for Wauwatosa kids, and I'm going to continue to fight this. And when very clear it's not going anywhere, it is what it is then. And then we're going to build those programs, and we're going to go out and compete, and we're going to be successful out there is kind of how I look
right.
at it.
You got to be very careful about sending the message to your athletes and to your parents, well, we're in this new league. We can't win in this league. I mean, you can't give that message.
But you know what? These parents and these athletes aren't foolish either. You know, they see, especially because football is such a numbers game, if you can't get numbers to come out, and it's hard. Look, I've been in programs that are the culture of losing is really hard to stop. And you've got to stop it, and you've got to figure out a way to get kids involved. The appeals process, and we only have a short time before you got to get to a break. Do you see any hope for some of the appeals that are becoming?
Not through the appeals process, probably through legal means. There's a number of issues. You know, what are we talking about right here? Football, right?
Right.
Nobody talks about the girls' sports and the impact on the girls' sports. We have soft girls' softball teams and girls' basketball teams. We can't get the numbers. That should be part of the conversation. We got to address girls' programs, other boys' sports. It's not just a football issue. If football's the driving factor behind all this and people are only worried about winning conference championships, then take football and do something separate with football. You know, let the big boys that are out there winning, let them all go into the playoffs every year. Let's address that a different way. But, you know, to me, it's about participation.
Right.
It's not about winning conference championships. And we want to get, you know, 100 kids at Tosa East in football. If we don't have a program, 100 kids lose that opportunity to have hope like these kids out here today.
Man, you got a lot on your plate, young man. You got a lot, Mr. Hurdle. You got a lot on your plate. I can tell you that I hear nothing but good things about you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
from outside of that bubble of Wauwatosa,
a lot of
respect for you.
Right, and
thank
I just want to say I wish every superintendent had the same views as Phil Hurdle on things.
Well, I don't know how you sleep at night, but you do. You keep sleeping. The most important thing you do is already out here. Is he? You know what? Your family and your kids, and you're out here supporting him, and I envy that. I envy that you get to keep watching him play because when it ends, man, it's rough.
Everybody tells me it goes quick, and Tom could sit here and reassure that point just with his son being successful and completing his high school career, too.
Yeah, it does. Phil, it's good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
we're going to get to a break. On this side of the break, John D'Amato, head coach here at Sussex Hamilton, is going to join us. We are at the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine live at Sussex Hamilton High School. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, and we're presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton High School for the 2016 High School Football Combine. Joined by Tom Swiddle, my co-host. Coach, this thing is this has run so well that these guys are going from one stage to another. Everybody's getting timed out, and they don't play. You miss the line, you miss it. You get two shots to do some of this stuff, and they don't play. If you miss the line, you go back to the line, and your number is not recorded.
That's absolutely right. And one of the reasons this is being run so smoothly and so efficiently is because of the wonderful facility we're in. Isn't this something?
It is something. And we are joined by John D'Amato, the head football coach here at Sussex Hamilton. And I, as an old guy, you learn stuff new every day. And here's what I learned about this facility. First of all, the second time I've been here, I was here Thursday, and it's a phenomenal facility. But I think a lot of people had the same idea that I had, John, that they built this as a football facility and only football uses it. And, man, that cannot be further than the truth. This thing is used a ton by everybody in the school.
No, absolutely. You know,
it's good to see you, John.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. So, yeah, I mean, if you look at the facility, it's got the football field on it. It's got all the lines. But it also has soccer. We have the cages here. Softball's using it. Golf is using it. Baseball is using it. Cheerleading is using it. You know, we only use it a fraction of the time as a football program. So I look at it every single day as far as fitness education is concerned. Every kid has taken freshman Phi-Ed, they use this. Every kid has taken sophomore Phi-Ed, they use this. And then we have over 600 kids taking upper-level electives that utilize the space as well. So it's been outstanding.
Well, and I asked John, I said, how often football? He said three times, and the fourth time we couldn't because the cheerleaders were in it. And I laughed, and he said, no, seriously. And I thought, okay, so what I thought of, and look, a couple years ago, one of your assistant coaches set me up. They said, hey, before the Thursday night football game, they said, ask John how the D'Amato Dome was going. And I thought, oh, okay. And you gave me a look and said, don't even think about going there. And this facility is used by, like you said, everybody. The weight room is second to none. And other schools now are coming to take a look at this to want to do the same.
Absolutely. We've had a half dozen schools come down this winter and tour it and ask questions and how we liked it, things that we would change. I just think it's the right way to go, to be honest with you. When I first got hired here, they actually had the blueprints for an actual field house. It was $15.5 million at the particular time, and they just felt like it wouldn't pass referendum. So, you know, the years went by, and the school kept on growing, and, you know, the facilities weren't changing. We were in the hallways, like a lot of schools are.
Sure.
And I get that. But, you know, being on a stairwell with 80 boys isn't the most productive thing, and it's not the safest thing. So, you know, to the credit of our administration team and how they made this thing work, it's really a testament to their vision, and, you know, it's really beneficial for the kids.
Hey, Tom, I asked Coach the downside of having a facility like this. And he said, well, you build a facility, and there are people out there that think you should win a state championship every year.
Oh, I can imagine.
And so there is some additional pressure. The facility is only as good as the people that are using it, I think, right?
Right.
And I know that you guys this year, you know, had a little step back, but But that conference is an unbelievable conference, and I know you got some kids coming back feeling pretty good about this upcoming season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every year is going to change. You know, you try to develop kids as much as you can, and we have good kids here that work hard. And, you know, the wins will take care of itself, you know, if you do things the right way. So, you know, we feel strongly about that in all of our programs, and that's all you can do. You know, you need to stay healthy. You just got to make sure that, you know, these kids are developing.
Right.
And you're providing them with those opportunities. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, each season it goes as planned.
I've had the opportunity to coach against Sussex and John for quite some time. And I can tell you that I've always been impressed by just the product they put out there.
Yep.
In terms of the players knowing what they're doing. Their schemes are so solid. You know, it's just, it's a tremendous program. It really is.
I got to tell you a quick story. We did a game, or I know I came out to a game that you guys played Milwaukee Riverside out here. It was a playoff game, and I got out of here about an hour, 10 minutes before kickoff. Riverside showed up. Your student section was packed already, and the Riverside kids were taking a lap in front of the student section. And the student section was having – They were doing some cheers, and they were going back and forth with the kids from Riverside in a great way. And I stood there, and I thought, you know what? This is exactly why I do some of the stuff that I do, why I put in this time and my love for this. It was because of stuff like that. The kids, at the end of the game, the kids from Riverside were high-fiving some kids from Hamilton, and it was a really competitive game. And I thought, man, this is why I do this stuff. And I had a ton of respect for the student section out here.
Yeah, we have great support here, from the administration team to the parents to the student body. It's been really good, and that was an outstanding game.
It really was.
Athletic Riverside team.
Oh, man, what were they good.
Yeah, they had a lot of speed that night. And but anyways, the point being, it was it's really refreshing to see when you can have a competitive game and then all parties are getting along, and they obviously know that it is about the football game. It's not about the students. It's not about the parents. It's about those kids, their commitment level, and what they're doing on Friday nights.
Hey, John, did you – this the whole realignment thing we talked about before, and I know Mike Gozzi, AD here, pretty involved with it. There are some people not happy. There are people that are happy. You're feeling on the whole thing? You just say, hey, look, I'm just going to line up and play?
Yeah, that's my philosophy. It's out of our hands. You know, obviously they did ask our opinion. And being a district rep and part of the great association here in the state of Wisconsin, we do have a say, but at the end of the day, you know, you're just going to let the chips fall. And I like what they have. I the addition of Germantown, just an outstanding program, top to bottom. Tulsa West as well. The couple of the kids from Tulsa West are here today, and there are some really good-looking kids. And they have a really outstanding athletic program, and I think they're really two great additions. And I'll be honest with you, we've always kind of struggled with our non-conference schedule and the fact that, you know, we're going to have the 8-game schedule, and then we have that mandated crossover with the Classic 8 is really intriguing for me too. It's one less stressor, and I think it's great because you bring back some of the old rivalries that we had.
Yep.
Back when I played in the Braveland,
you know,
with the Miguanago and the Arrowhead and the Waukesha North, Waukesha South. That's intriguing to me, and I like that.
How will that be set up? Who will decide who's playing who?
Oh, right now it's up to the athletic directors are looking at it right now, and a couple things are being debated. But the one that I'm supporting and which I really like is, you're going to look at the Classic 8, you're going to look at the GMC, and you're going to look and see how they placed. And then they're going to have a 2-year contract. So let's say Arrowhead took their conference and Marquette took ours. Well, that following year, okay, they're going to have a 2-year home and away, and they're going to play whoever took first that year. So like I said, I'm using Marquette and I'm using Arrowhead as the example. They would play week one.
Okay.
And let's say Brookfield Central and Kettle Moraine, they both took second, okay. Now they're playing week two, 2-year schedule, home and away. Third place, Brookfield East and Miguanago, they play.
That's
week
awesome.
Three. So I'm supportive of that, and I think that just makes sense. You get a home and away. Typically, and I get it, you can have a spike, and you may get a team that, you know, maybe took fifth or sixth, and then the next year they had a great senior class and things just clicked and they took first. But typically when you're looking at things, you know, the upper tier, you know, schools, they're going to consistently be in the, you know, the upper echelon, whether it be first, second, third place.
You know what I like about that? It's a two-year deal, too.
Right. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You don't have to look at it every
right.
year.
Right.
2 years, and then let's come back and reshuffle the deck and do it again. I yeah. like that idea.
Well, and John said it all. I know that John's, you know, in the same situation that we've been in last 7 years for Brookfield East. Nobody wants to play you in a non-conference game. You know, teams were open week one. You know, you call that coach, hey, you interested? No, we don't want to play you. You know, so it's hard.
Makes it hard.
When you have success, it's hard to find games.
And it matters. Non-conference matters now.
Yes.
How we have things lined up as far as our playoffs are concerned. So you go in there, and I know I do that, and we line up who you play non-conference, how they did, and you make comparisons. And it's a big deal. And, you know, you don't want to come out of your non-conference schedule, you know, 0-2. You don't want that.
Hey, John, thank you. Thanks, John, not only for today. Hey, last quick question. With a facility like this, do you get calls all the time to school about, hey, can we rent the facility? Can we use the facility? We have this band or we have this or that?
We did initially, but I think the word got out that it's not out for rent.
Yeah,
so they nipped that in the butt. And to be honest with you, it can't be because it's always being used. It's used till 10 o'clock at night all the way through. So.
Hey, John, thank you for not only today, but you've just always been so kind with your time for the stuff that I do, and thank you for that. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate the kind words, guys. Yeah. You can do a great job, and you know, enjoy the rest of the day.
You bet.
He's
John
you.
D'Amato, the
Thanks,
head
guys.
Football coach here at Sussex Hamilton. We're going to get to a break. We are live at Sussex Hamilton for the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton High School for the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine, joined by my co-host Tom Swiddle. Thanks for joining us. One of my favorite people in the world is going to join us. He just is. You know, you always feel better when you get done talking to Tony McCudden. Hey, Tony, it's good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks to be here, you and Tom.
Yeah.
Great seeing
Thanks
you guys.
For being here.
So you're here for a couple reasons. Your son is participating. Right?
Yes, sir.
One of the McCudden boys, the last McCudden
last
boy.
Last one.
Man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Thinking about adoption.
Yeah.
We'll go from there.
Hey, look, we've been through it now. You know, you've been through it before, but you've always had other ones. This combine, and Tom has said it like three times now, because of Next Level is the reason this thing has run so well. I'm watching as these guys are getting these kids, and it's like herding cats sometimes. When you got 50 offensive linemen, you're trying to get to do one thing and do it right. But, man, these guys are good at Next Level.
They do a great job, and it all starts with the leadership of Brad Arnett. But he has a group of trainers that are just outstanding in their field. And really, their passion for the kids and the athletes, if you sit here and watch it for any amount of time, you'll just see that they really want these kids to do well. We're independent, so we're making sure that we keep the integrity of the reps, of the timing in the 40s and the heights of the jumps. But really, we really want these kids to be successful today.
You know what I like is I'm watching them as they do the line drill or the L drill, and if they miss a line, if they don't touch the line,
they're done.
Just stop them and move them. Yep. And it's not where they're saying, if you get close. If you're here, everything is the same for every kid. They didn't even look at the kid's face. They don't know who these kids are.
Right.
That's a great point.
And I think, you know, and Tony just said it, but it's sort of the integrity of the numbers. You know, when you're being recruited, you know, a player or really a coach, you'd hate to see a coach do it, but they can put down any number they want.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a 4.5 40 kid. I mean, how would anybody know? These numbers mean something because they're taken by professionals.
I couldn't put – I'm a 4.5 40. People would know on that, right, Tom? Yeah,
anyway, sure.
4-5-20. That's what it is. Tony, so you're wearing a couple hats today. Do you get nervous for your son and stuff like this?
I don't get too nervous. I mean, this is my fourth boy coming through, so right. I've had a little bit of experience with this. I want him to be successful. I want him to have a great day. I want him to enjoy the process. As I'm walking through the groups, I'm telling all these kids, have fun, enjoy the process. To Tom's point about the disqualification, if they do it incorrectly, we also want these kids to know that there's some pressure going on. There's 25 colleges that are watching. You got about 150 parents watching. You have to succeed under pressure. That's what we're really trying to help these kids with.
Not only the coaches and the parents, but now these guys look around and they go, man, I play against him on Friday. I play against him on Friday. And not only that, and they're competitive on Fridays, but I'm watching kids from different schools going up and talking to other kids, hugging, how you been, good to see you. And so friendships can be built from stuff like this.
This is the best avenue. I'll give you an example, Mike. We're watching the kids in the 40 times, and they're asking each other, what'd you get? But you got a kid from Merrill, Wisconsin, talking to a kid from Wauwatosa West, and they're both talking. There's no other avenue for these two guys to be able to talk than this kind of event. And so we're so happy to have these kids here, and we're so happy that they're doing it in a controlled environment, and they're really just doing it in Wisconsin. They don't have to go anywhere else.
You know, Tony, I was going to just ask you that, you know, being involved like you are with this type of thing with Next Level, are you aware of any other states that do something comparable through, say, a state association, give student or athletes an opportunity to do this?
I don't know of any state-run, you know, the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association has partnered with Next Level. And all of the intentions were correct, that they wanted a place and an opportunity for Wisconsin kids to get legitimate measurables in a combine atmosphere. And again, I don't know any other state that puts this kind of program together that's not a private run program like a Nike or a Sparks or something like that.
Hey, when these kids, first question, Who made the decision to have the linemen come first, man? How come the pretty boys get to sleep in, Tony? Well, who made that decision? These big boys here are the ones that should have got a chance to sleep in a little bit.
We just wanted to make sure that the big boys got a chance to get in line at the buffet at OK Corral at about 11:30, 12 o'clock.
When we were at a break, I asked the young man, you having a good time? He goes, yeah, I can't wait to eat. I'm hungry. And I said, where are you going? He said, I don't really care as long as it tastes okay. I'm gonna eat it. When your son gets a chance to do this, and he did it last year, correct?
Yes, sir.
So he knows what his times were last year. He knows what he did. He's not walking into this thing now cold because he knows what is expected from him. Would you expect then his numbers to be different this year than they were last year?
Yeah, I think the numbers he put up last year, kids had a great baseline, and we invite freshmen to this event so that they can year after year keep improving their numbers, have a goal to shoot for. You're really competing against yourself here. As much as you're trying to look at what other kids do, you're competing against yourself. When you need that motivation in the off season to train, you've got your own numbers in the back of your head. And really, this is a great avenue to do it because, again, you've got freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors here.
My favorite, if I can, I had Tony on one of the shows I did. His son was a freshman playing varsity football, Waukesha West, and I said, are you worried about him playing up? He said, my son's played up his whole life. He's got three older brothers that beat the heck out of him. He has had to compete up. So, no, this is nothing new for this young man.
Not at all.
And I still tell people that line is a good line, man.
Hey, Tony, if you could just kind of round this up a little bit for us. This is, you know, for recruiting purposes and so on. You've been through it now. This is your fourth son who's been through the process. What little bits of advice would
you really take care of the classroom work first? Because these schools, these coaches that are out here today, they're not even going to give you a second look if you're not taking care of it in the classroom. Tom, you know this, your son being a great student athlete, the options open up when you have a 3-point average versus a 2.1. If they take care of the academic part and then take care of the athletic part and the training, then just being patient. The hardest thing to tell a parent when they're talking about their kid is to be patient. But I think even today I talked to a lot of the college coaches. They're primarily looking at the 2017s, which are the rising seniors. the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors that are here, they're really just working on their own reps and their own their own game. But again, these college guys are watching it closely.
Tony, can I ask you, before we cut you loose, and you don't have to get too much into detail, but your son, you have a son that went to Dubuque and then to Wisconsin and then went to Division III in the state.
Yes.
That goal and that dream of playing Division I football that all these kids have, that's a great dream to have, but that's not always the best scenario for some people.
What do you tell some of these kids? I think the one thing that we as coaches, as we try to teach and inspire, is I'm convinced that there's a place for everybody to play.
Right.
There, you know, you say D3, there's D3 like Whitewater, Oshkosh, which are nationally ranked.
Right.
And there's some wonderful, some other D3 programs that are going on right now that there's always room for a kid to participate and play. So whether it's D3, D2, or D1, you got to play, because I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, kids want to be on the field playing.
Was Oshkosh the best? Was that really a good spot to get on the field?
It was great. It was, Mike. And you know, Coach Cerrone and his staff, we had looked at them originally when Kevin was coming out of high school.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, made a change, went to Dubuque, then went to Wisconsin, which was a dream of his. But to finish off his 2 years playing at Oshkosh was phenomenal.
I follow you guys on Facebook.
Thank you.
And I'm a big fan of your family and your son, Kevin.
I just want to say one thing. When my son went on his recruiting trip to Oshkosh, your son ate with us. And I texted you. I don't know if you remember that. But what a nice young man. Outstanding young man.
Tony, we got to cut you loose.
Yes.
I would love, once we get into the season, if there was a chance to get you come in studio and spend an hour with us.
I'd love to spend a time in the studio with you guys.
Because you know what? We could. I'd love to pick your brain on a lot of stuff, not only from the next level side, the coaching side, but the parent side. We could do 4 days.
Yes. Man.
McGivern, McCudden, and Swiddle. Oh,
absolutely.
I see your mom every once in a while. She's doing well.
She's doing great, Mike. Thank
she's
you.
She's a great woman.
She's your biggest fan, so you got that going for you.
That's good. You know what? And she's smart.
That's right.
That's awesome. Hey, guys, we got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue talking to you guys here at the Combine. We're live from Sussex Hamilton for the 2016 WFCA High School Football Combine. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.